Good morning. I know y'all know that the Bible was not actually written in English, right? You know that? And translation is an art form, and different artists paint different pictures with the words that they choose to insert as the text. And so, as Heather said earlier, the translation that I am going to read to you is slightly different from what's going to be projected on the screen. Those adjustments have been made to make the text more closely align to the original Hebrew text. So, the first reading is from Genesis, the second chapter. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that Adam should be alone. I will make them a partner, a helper as their partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what they would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. Adam gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper as their partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and they slept. Then God took one of Adam's ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from Adam, God made into a woman and brought her to Adam. Then Adam said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Psalm number 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house of the disciples asked him again about this matter. Jesus said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she then divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And Jesus took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our readings today carry a lot of baggage. Over the years, they've been used in ways that have hurt and harmed. They've been weaponized. I personally always hated the Genesis story because of how it's been used for centuries to defend the subordination of women. Church fathers claimed that this text was proof that it was, in fact, God's created order. And so then that's all I could hear when I heard this story read. And it made my blood boil. Then on top of that, this story's been called on to argue against gay marriage. Little snippets of it have been put on poster boards and they get thrown at people like a weapon, used to argue that only men and women should be allowed to marry each other. I'm sure many of you hear that baggage when you hear these stories as well. But despite all of the ugly ways it's been used, this Genesis text is actually a beautiful story with a beautiful message. I had Deb read my slightly tweaked translation because going back to the Hebrew is what helped me reclaim this text for myself. Thanks to the work of Hebrew scholar and Old Testament professor Phyllis Tribble. And there have been lots of other scholars, many of them, who've reclaimed the Hebrew reading. So let's just look at that for a second. Remember that this is the second of two creation stories in the beginning of Genesis. In the first one, God's this sort of cosmic voice that speaks creation into being. You know, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "And let there be living creatures brought forth from the earth," and there were animals. God spoke creation into being in that first story. But in the second creation story, we have a much more intimate picture of God's creative activity. Right before the text that we heard this morning, God scoops up the earth and molds it into a human. And there's a lot of wordplay that happens in the Hebrew that gets lost in the English. God scoops up Adama, which means earth. God scoops up Adama and shapes it into Adam, human. A-D-A-M, Adam. I had a professor that used to call Adam mud creature. We have this image of God playing in the mud and crafting and molding and sculpting this human creature. And there's no gendered language at this point in the story. Even though the English translations have said man was created, that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says this mud creature, this Adam, was created, and there's no he, him. There's no word man in the story until later when a woman is created. And that's when Adam shifts grammatically to a proper name, Adam or capital A or Adam. And just to be clear, this is not some new radical interpretation. I learned about this when I first studied Hebrew in the 90s, but there were Jewish scholars talking about it long before that. But in Western Christianity, the version of the story used by the church fathers to argue for a hierarchical, gendered order for humanity, it got ingrained in our collective consciousness and our shared theology. It has a solid foothold that's hard to dislodge. But again, looking to the Hebrew text, we see that God created this non-gendered, or maybe all gendered, is a better way of thinking about it. God sculpted this new creation that simply reflects God. And then God breathes God's own breath into the mud to give it life. And God looks at this new creation and says, I want you to be happy. I want you to have relationship and companionship in your life. I want you to have partnership. And so then God's like, here's a giraffe, or maybe an aardvark. There's humor here as God brings a parade of animals before Adam, and after each one, Adam says, no, none of these are quite right. So then God puts Adam to sleep and separates Adam into two parts. The Hebrew says that God took a side of Adam. Translators have chosen rib, but lots of theology has been written using that specific term again to diminish women as lesser. But God takes a side of Adam and creates a second creature. And that's when we have the first gendered words in the story, which is Isha, woman. Isha is created. And when she is introduced to Adam, Adam sings a song of joy and praise. And in this moment of celebration, of having found the right partner, that's when the language starts to become gendered. That's when we get man, Ish. That's when we get woman, Isha. And that's when we get he and she and all that jazz. Like I said, there's so much beauty in this story. The intimacy of God creating humanity and breathing God's own breath into them. The Spirit of God to give them life. The beauty of this story is that God wants companionship for humanity. God doesn't want them to be alone. God wants them to have the joy of that and allows them to choose for themselves who is the right partner. In fact, God gives them a whole parade of options. And when Adam finds the right partner, their response is beautiful and full of joy. I can do a whole nother sermon about the use of the word helper in this story and how that word is used through scripture to indicate a partnership, that there's no subordination implied in the word. In fact, it's a word used for God in many places throughout scripture. But that's a sermon for another day. Basically, there's this partnership that's created. There's this companionship that's created. This is not a story about the human institution of marriage, but about God's intimate connection to humanity and about God's intention for us to live in relationship with one another and in community. We were created as reflections of a relational God. And we were created to be in relationship with one another. It is not good for earth creatures to be alone. Again, this is not about marriage. It's about relationship. God intends for us to be helpers and supporters for one another, to take joy in one another, and to recognize the beauty of God's good creation in one another. Okay, I probably spent too long on that story because I really like it. So now let's talk about the gospel. This one isn't beautiful. First of all, it's a trap. Some people came to Jesus and they intentionally asked him a question about a highly controversial topic, knowing that there is no way for him to answer that won't make people angry. Second of all, it's about divorce. And divorce was a painful subject then, just like it is now. Marriage was very different back then. Marriage in the ancient world was primarily an economic arrangement, a means of ensuring a family's economic stability and social privilege. And because of the way divorce worked, women were disproportionately hurt by divorce. Left with no means to provide for themselves or their children, women were extremely vulnerable within the community if their husbands chose to divorce them. That's still often the case today, but it was even more so in the time of Jesus. So here, in this story, in a place and time when men could easily discard their wives and leave them with no means to provide for themselves, Jesus is answering the implied question of how a husband should treat his wife. And his answer is not as disposable property. Jesus is addressing the specific abusive practices of the time, not modern controversies or questions of our time. Also, Jesus' response to their question builds on this whole conversation he's been having up to this point. The past few weeks, we've heard Jesus as he talked to his disciples about the need to care for the vulnerable, like Kelsey talked about. He brought a child into their midst, pointing to the most vulnerable in their community, adamantly insisting that to do God's will is to care for those who are vulnerable. And notice how Jesus points back to that again at the end of today's reading. Treating one's spouse as disposable, most frequently in this context, one's wife, is not caring for the vulnerable. The harsh words of judgment where Jesus says whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, the Greek actually says whoever divorces his wife in order to marry another. Again, referring to a way of treating one's partner as disposable. It reminds me of the movie The First Wives Club. There's been a few versions, but Diane Keaton's who comes to mind for me. The story of women who put their lives on hold, put their careers on hold to support their husbands and their careers. And once their husbands made it, they replaced their wives with newer, younger versions. Treating people as disposable still happens sometimes. Jesus' harsh words are a passionate reminder that in God's kingdom, no one is disposable. The vulnerable are cherished, and all are beloved children of God. Another interesting detail in this story is that the religious leaders who approach Jesus reference scripture that has been used against the vulnerable, used to argue for the easy dismissal of wives by their husbands as allowed. They misuse scripture to set the trap. But Jesus calls them out and says, just because it's allowed by scripture for you to get divorced does not mean that it's okay for you to discard another person. In other words, misusing scripture to hurt people is nothing new. But Jesus doesn't allow it. Instead, Jesus points back to the creation story, reminding them that people were created to be in joyful relationship. Jesus points back to Genesis here, not to define who's allowed to get married, but as a reminder of the divine intention for all human relationships, companionship, community, and joyful partnership. In the past, this text was used by the church as the final word on divorce in a way that was really hurtful. But in fact, Jesus was addressing the abusive practices of the time and emphasizing the need to care for the vulnerable. And Jesus lifted up Genesis as a reminder of God's creative intention for us to be loving and supportive community for one another. It's hard to hear these texts and not hear all the ways they've been used to judge and hurt. and I can't take the sting of that away. But Scripture was never meant to be used as a weapon. So hear the good news. God created us for joyful community, for life-giving relationships and partnerships. God created us to support and help one another. God cares about people who've been treated as less than, people who've been treated as commodities or as disposable. And God calls us to a different way of relating to one another. God cherishes each and every one of us. And God calls us to live out that love in community and in relationship with one another. Thanks be to God.